Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode, tonight I stay excited every time we are on the air because we are studying God's holy word. Tonight, the book of 2 Kings we will continue with. And we know this is a chronology of all of the men and the one woman, if you will, that were kings of Israel and of Jerusalem. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always love to do, I am personally taking this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. My precious brothers and sisters, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. I am so pleased that you continue, and I ask and solicit you to continue to provide them for me. Okay, as the theme song for the show suggests, and it always does, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King David, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." That is Psalms 37, verse 18. Our inheritance is the promise, my brothers and sisters, and it is for those who are upright, meaning those who keep the commandments of God. God said again, this time through King Solomon, "Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." This is taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. The blessing is that no evil thing shall overtake you if your heart is in the Lord. It will discern the time and judgment of all. God said again, this time through Isaiah the prophet, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. My brothers and sisters, this is the promise that what God says is going to be fact. It is not fiction. And that is the key. So, as I once mentioned, are you standing on these promises of God tonight? Now, before we get started, again, this is something that I always do. I think it is critical to rehearse it, my precious brothers and sisters, because the Bible is written in code, okay? Meaning mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, symbols, and the like. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we are here together tonight, to study and learn together. So now let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 32 through 38. Chapter 15 of 2 Kings, verse 32 through 38. And the instruction is instruction number 46. And this is the instruction. Jotham, king of Judah. And this is what it says. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Azariah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now, the rest of the acts of Jotham and all of that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days, the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David of his fathers. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, this is just a little glimpse, a synopsis of the exploits of Jotham the king. And you can see that even though he still pleased God, he didn't do perfectly what he was supposed to do. All right? Now, what we're going to do is now go to Revelations chapter 1 or chapter 2. Turn your Bible sources with me to Revelations, and we're going to look at Revelations chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 7. And listen, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're doing now, we are reading the complement. This supplements or it compares what we just read about this king of Judah. This is the angel of the church in Ephesus. And the comparison is that in this instance, this is what the angel of the church is responsible for doing and didn't do all of it. Just like Jotham, he was responsible for doing the Lord's work and he didn't do it all. Listen to what this says. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And that's Jesus Christ, who now all power has been given by God in heaven and in earth. Verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot stand and bear that which is evil, and how thou hast tried that which who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I have now looked, and we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction. Mm-hmm.
the fact that there are always people around us who are fault finders. Those who seldom see the great or the good, but are quick to point out the negative. During his presidency, Abraham Lincoln was a man greatly respected, greatly reviled also. Blamed for plunging the nation into war, he was the president people loved to hate. Those who opposed his views regarding the war and slavery, as well as his efforts to keep the nation united, were vocal and uninhibited in denouncing him. In fact, one day during the darkest days in the Civil War and of his presidency, it was said that Lincoln was walking down a street near the Capitol in Washington when an acquaintance caught up with him. As they walked, the man brought up the subject of the growing anti-Lincoln sentiments flowing in Washington, as well as throughout the country. And with brutal honesty, the man related to Lincoln many of these stories outlining attacks on Lincoln and his policies. As the man spoke, Lincoln remained completely silent, absorbed in his own thoughts. Well, finally, the exasperated man asked, "Mr. Lincoln, haven't you heard me? Are you listening to me?" Well, Lincoln stopped, looked directly at him and said, "Yes, I've heard you. But let me tell you a story. You know that during the time of the full moon, it's the habit of all the dogs to come out at night and bark and bark and bark at the moon. And this keeps on as long as the moon is clearly visible in the sky." At that point, Mr. Lincoln stopped speaking and continued his walk. Well, confused by Lincoln's response, his exasperated companion persisted, "Mr. Lincoln, you haven't finished your story. Tell me the rest of it." Well, once again, Lincoln stopped walking and said, "There's nothing more to tell. The moon keeps right on shining, no matter how many dogs are barking or how loudly." So once again, Lincoln was a great role model for managing criticism. And he certainly was aware of his shortcomings. He knew that many highly respected, influential people disagreed with him. In fact, one of the highest members of his cabinet said to a friend of his one time, "Abraham Lincoln is a fool." Well, somebody told Lincoln about that, and the president stopped and thought for a moment again, and he said, "Well, he must be right, because I respected that man and still do. He's a great statesman. I must be a fool."
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this particular instruction, 46, with the book of Revelations telling us how the angel speaking to the church at Ephesus gives us an understanding that all was not done as God had prescribed. We're going to continue with verse 3. It says, and this angel of the church that's responsible for performing this function, Jesus says that you have borne and have patience and for my name's sake have labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. So this is where it compares with what King of the Jotham of Judah did. It says that, remember therefore, it's not exact, but of course it references it, meaning that he did not do all of what God would command him to do. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So that's the comparison, my brothers and sisters. If we do as perfectly as we can, faithfully, we will succeed and receive what we need to get through this experience we're having this side of eternity. Okay, let's go back to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 16 this time. We're going to read chapter 16. We're going to read verse 7 through 9 and verse 19 and 20. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is instruction 47. Ahaz collaborated with the king of Assyria against Israel and Syria. Ahab collaborated with the king of Assyria against Israel and Syria. Okay, now remember, Ahab is the king of Israel. No, Ahab is the son of Jotham, who was the king of Judah. Now, this is what 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7 through 9 says. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, and carried the people of it captive to Kir, and slew Rezin. Now we're going to go to verse 19. It says, now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, so now the collaboration is what we're looking at. That's key. Now turn your Bible sources with me. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 26. Turn your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 through 16. And listen to the collaboration that Judas Iscariot made with the Pharisees and Sadducees to imprison Jesus. This is what it says. And we're talking about collaboration and so many others, but this is the one that I've chose for this lesson tonight. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 through 16. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, just like with what Judas did, so did Ahaz. He sent gold to the king of Assyria to entice him to do the same. Okay, let's go back to the next instruction, instruction number 48. And this is the instruction. Salamander puts Israel in bondage. Okay, now Salamancer is another king of Assyria. All right? And this is what 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 6 says about Salamancer, who put Israel in bondage. All right? And remember, we're reading the Chronicles of the kings of Israel and of Judah. And this is what they did. And there's a snippet or a synopsis that was written by the writers, not giving all the details. And, of course, it tells us that the rest of the acts of these individuals is in another volume. And so that has been lost to antiquity, my brothers and sisters. We don't have access to it, but that's beside the point. This is just to give you a storyline to follow. All right, this is what 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 6 says. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to king of Egypt, and brought no presents to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him up in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. So this is what happened with Ahab's son. And now we're going to go to Matthew. Turn your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. And we're going to get the comparison. And this is what it says, Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. And this is similar. Listen to what it says, my precious brothers and sisters. And at that time, Herod, the patriarch, heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him up and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.' And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet." So this is what happened to John the Baptist, and the same happened to the son of Ahaz with Shalmaneser. Okay, I see we're at the second break. Let's take that second break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Into a season right now, it ain't time for us to point out everybody else's fault. It's time for us to look in the mirror and say, am I usable? Am I flexible? Am I pliable? Am I moldable? Can God take my life, put me on the potter's wheel, and spin me until he makes me everything that I need to be for this next season in my life? Some of you have been spinning and you're wondering, what in the world? Why am I spinning? Why am I going in circles? But I'll tell you why you're going in circles. It's because God is making you another vessel. It's a new season and he's putting touches on your life that you didn't need in the last season, but you're going to need it in this season. So he just scoops you up, drops you on the wheel, starts bending you, making you uncomfortable, breaking you. You're trying to figure out. You're like, God, I did everything right, I thought. He said, no, it's not that you've done anything wrong. I'm just getting you ready for the next season. You asked me to use you, didn't you? Hallelujah. So God, we have to check ourselves, because once we are refined and once we are ready, God will begin to use us. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us examine our ways. Let us test them and let us return back to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. Let us test them. And if we're out of whack, let's return back to the Lord. Because it's only as we return back to the Lord that God, and we allow him to form us into what we need to be. Somebody saying, what's next for my life? What's next for your life is that you have to examine yourself and say, God, am I usable? God is looking for people who are holy. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness really means, it means that we live a consecrated life, that we aim to live a pure life, Make every effort, Hebrews 12 says. Make every effort to be consecrated. Make every effort to be pure. Make every effort to be sanctified in your heart and in your life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the primary characteristic that lets us know that he is there is that you ought to want to be holy, that you ought to want to be different. When the Holy Spirit comes in, something in you says, I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to think like I used to think. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to hang with everybody I used to hang with. When the Holy Spirit is in there, the evidence that he is in there is that you want to be different. It's that you want to be like God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Instruction number 49, God banishes the nation of Israel even to this very day. This is critical to note. Did you hear what the instruction says, my brothers and sisters? Listening out there, God banishes the nation of Israel even to this very day. Now, before I get into the details, let me tell you something. The nation of Israel today that is in Jerusalem is one or two tribes. The entire nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, is what this is talking about. The nation of Israel split during the reign of Rehoboam, right after King Solomon. There were two tribes went to the south and 10 tribes went to the north. The nation of Israel is what the 10 tribes in the north represent. Okay, this is what 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13 through 23 has to say about this occurrence. Remember, we're talking about God banishing this nation. Listen to what it says in the chapter 17, verse 13 through 23. Yet the Lord testified against Israel, that's the 10 tribes, and against Judah, that's the other two, by all of the prophets and by all of the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the laws which I command your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, and that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even to calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And that is the northern tribes now did this. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Now, all the 12 tribes did that. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, the 10 tribes, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And that's the difference. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and divided them into the hands or delivered them into the hands of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Jabat, king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all of the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had stated. said by all of his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. So those 10 tribes are lost to this day, my precious brothers and sisters. They're called the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And so what we have in Jerusalem today that say there are the Israelites, there are only two tribes at most, and that's Judah, which they coined Jews from, and that's who reign supreme in Jerusalem today. So you can see that God has banished them, and they're still banished to this particular day. All right, let's go now to Luke chapter 13, and we're going to get a compliment out of this and see what the New Testament has to say about it. Let's go to Luke. We're going to Luke chapter 13, verse 24 through 28. Luke chapter 14, or 13, verse 24 through 38. Listen to how Jesus puts it today, and this is more akin to what is meaningful to us. Listen to what he said. Jesus said, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I knew you not whence ye are. That's what happened to the 10 tribes in Israel. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. That's because they left the original commandments of God, and they set up a new standard in Samaria. They built, the temple was built in Jerusalem, but they worshiped in a temple that was built in Samaria and in Bethel. That's where they went astray, and that's why God, again, to this day, they are out of God's sight. They are not in Israel proper today. Listen to what verse 34 and 35 says commencing. And this is what God had told them and also told Judah. Listen, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, the Israelites in Jerusalem have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so even Judah today still is being denounced by God, because as Jesus just said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, that means that constantly God is trying to save them, but they will not be saved. I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
Should not commit adultery because you do incredible damage to your spouse. You do incredible damage to your spouse. You see, because as Paul wrote, you violate your oneness with your mate by entering into a bond with another person. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:16, don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says the two are united into one. That is why it's absurd to say it was a one-night stand or it didn't mean anything. Well, maybe it didn't mean anything to you. Maybe it didn't even mean anything to the girl you were doing it with or the guy you were involved with, but it means a lot to God, and the oneness of the relationship between a man and a woman is violated by this, and that, by the way, is why Jesus gave a release clause out of the marriage for the sin of adultery. Now, that is not saying if there is adultery in a marriage, you should dissolve it, because adultery is not only grounds for divorce, it's also grounds for forgiveness. And I've seen marriages survive this, though I will add that it's not easy, and a factor of trust is many times destroyed, or at the very least eroded dramatically, and it takes time to get it back, and I don't know that you ever completely get it back, but you can survive it. But the point is, why go through this kind of misery? Why expose yourself to this kind of an issue? And in most cases, adultery has not just been a one-night stand. It's been something that's gone on for a while, requiring habitual deception and lying that is often as devastating as the act itself. Heard about one woman that found out that her husband had been carrying on an affair with some other girl for 7 years. And she said, the wife said to the husband, the last 7 years of Christmases and birthdays and anniversaries have all been lies. And what she meant by that was, in her perception, all those family celebrations where he presented himself as the loving husband and the doting father, it was a charade. It was a lie because he was involved with some other woman. You devastate, you destroy, you hurt your spouse.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at instruction number 50, and the instruction is, Assyria replaced Israel with other people from God, whom God punished. Assyria replaced Israel with other people whom God punished. This is very interesting to note, is that Assyria took all of the Israelites out of Samaria and replaced them with other people. And those other people got punished for being there. And we're going to see how this worked out. Turn your Bible sources with me to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 through 28. Listen to what the text says. And keep in mind that this is Israel, the lost tribes, what happened to them. They were scattered. They were displaced and replaced. It says in verse 24, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Severium and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwell in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew them, some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and replaced in the city of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach you the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. So that is how they satisfied the moment. All right? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to see what is similar, the case, when you do not respond to God, and what God will do in order to get your attention and reconcile everything. Listen to what Jesus said in this parable. Jesus answered and spake unto them this parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he said, sent forth a servant, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and had sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to come to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they could find, good, bad, and the like, to the wedding feast, and they were guests filled. His wedding was filled. So this was what happened in Samaria, that they were, God's people were kicked out, and the other people that came in to replace them, they too did not satisfy God, and they also were punished, all right? And the reason I say that is because this is how it ended up. Listen to what happened in the parable. It says, and when the king came to see the guests, meaning all those new people, he saw a man there which had no wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how canst thou not hither not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this again is telling us, my precious brothers and sisters, when the people came in that knew not God of Israel, they did which was disrespectful against him, and he sent lions in to destroy them. And then what did they have to do? They had to have the wedding garment. They sent a priest. They came and got a priest to come in and teach them the ways. And this is how this all complies one to another. And that's how I tied it together. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the instruction to you. This is the instruction. It's instruction number 51, and it is Assyria comes up against Judah. Okay? Now, we remember Assyria was overtook Israel. Now Assyria is going to go and try to overtake Judah. And this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13 through 16 about that. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Okay, so Assyria came up against, and Judah tried to satisfy him by giving him all this money. All right, now let's see what the book of Revelation has to say about similar. Let's go to Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 10. And listen to what happens when you come up against God, which we're going to read about in further instructions. But I have put this in the analogy of this instruction number 51 to begin with. This is what happened when Satan came up against God's people, what God did to him. All right? This is what it says in verse 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So Sennacherib came up against Judah, and they weren't supposed to. Listen to what happened to Satan in this instance. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My precious brothers and sisters, because Assyria were not supposed to go any further than what God told them to go, they got punished. And that's what happened. And we're going to read more about that in the coming instructions. Now let's go back to instruction number 52, and we're going to get a sense of that. Instruction number 52, we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. And this is the instruction. And I see we're at our final break for this evening. Let's take this final break, and then we'll complete.
Love, the most beautiful thing in the world that you and I look for is love. I mean, you've heard the joke, haven't you? What do you get when you hear a country music song playing backwards? Well, you get your pickup truck back, you get your house back, you get this back, you get that back. All of country music is on love and it's on romance. My wife and I have been married for 47 years. Yeah. I know I don't look it, I just look 25 or something like that. But you know what? I'll never forget the day I met her. She was 16, and I was 20. I'd just come from India, she was from Canada. And when I looked at her, I wasn't listening much to the sermon that day. I was looking at her across, and I thought, that's the one I want to meet. And strangely enough, she thought the same thing. And now, after 47 years, in fact, coming up in 2-3 months, will be 48, as Margie and I have been wed, I want to tell you two things about love. It's hard work. It's hard work. You see, when you put the ring on that finger, it is a tourniquet to stop your circulation. When you say yes to her, you're really saying no to everyone else. Do you realize it's the greatest compliment you pay a human being when you take them at their word when they say, I do? Do you realize that? Young people, let me tell you something. G.K. Chesterton put it this way, free love is a black and white contradiction in two words. Love was never intended to be free. It is the nature of love to bind itself. It is the nature of love to bind itself. And the consummate expression is the most sacred expression of all, physically, which actually represents the spiritual consummation of two people saying, I do. C.S. Lewis says there are four kinds of love. Agape love, the love of God. Storge love, parental love, which is protection. Phileo, which is brotherly love or friendship love. Eros, which is romantic love. Agape, storge, phileo, eros. And the other three have no point of reference without the first. They have no point of reference without the first. You cannot really define love until you understand the one who has created you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You cannot love without giving. And God gave to us the most precious gift of all, in his Son. Love cannot be defined apart from God. And if our culture is messed up, it's messed up right here. We have no longer a definition or a point of reference for love. You love your car, you love your house, you love your dog, you love blue, you love Italian food, you love Indian food, you love your wife. Same word. Not so for the Greeks. They had agape, storge, phileo, eros, and the last three hung on the peg of the first. And if you are living with a broken heart today because of a broken love, you probably had that love broken because somebody didn't hang love on the peg of the eternal love of God himself.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go to instruction number 52. We're going to look at King Hezekiah goes to Israel for advice. That is the instruction, and we're going to hear what that means in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. Listen to what it says. And, of course, we know that Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and the assault was from Sennacherib, or the king of Assyria, trying to go beyond what God had commanded him when he took over the northern tribes. And now he's looking at doing the southern tribes the same. And this is where Hezekiah comes into play. Listen to what it says in chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went down into the house of the Lord. That means that, you know, when he heard that Sennacherib was coming to ransack Jerusalem, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shibnet, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, had sent to reproach the living God, and would reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Excuse me. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Okay, so that is exactly how God responded to this assault. Now, let's go to Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 23. Luke chapter 7, verse 7 through 23, and listen to how this ties in to what we just read. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto his two disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou that should come, and or we should look for another? Now, like King Hezekiah, he was afraid that Sennacherib was going to take over. In this instance, Jesus has come to redeem Israel, and John the Baptist is seeking advice from him to see if he is the Son of God that has come to redeem Israel. Verse 20 continues, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John, who asked for the advice, what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. So just as Hezekiah went to Isaiah to find out what the word of God had to say about the assault that was about to occur, same with John the Baptist. He wanted to find out from Jesus if he was the one that had come to redeem Israel. So that's the connection I'm making. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to the next instruction. And the next instruction is 53. And what we're going to do is we're going to keep in mind, as I read the text to you, this instruction. King Hezekiah prays to God for Judah's salvation. So King Hezekiah got his advice from Isaiah, and now he prays to God for the salvation of the country. And this is 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 through 19. Listen to what this text has to say. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou art alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, blow down thy ear, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thy eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, meaning the northern tribes had already been destroyed and overtaken. Verse 18 says, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of the men's hands, and wood, stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them, meaning that they had set up false gods, and God was angry and destroyed them. Verse 19, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hands, that the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord thy God, and thou art only he. And now we're going to go to John. Listen, this is the prayer John made for us. Jesus made this prayer for us to save us. Listen, we're going to go to John chapter 17, verse 20 through 24. Listen to what Jesus prayed about us in our salvation. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their words, that they may all be one as thou art, Father, in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and have loved me as thou hast loved thee. Listen, my brothers and sisters, that's the same prayer, similar, that's the context, that King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for that salvation of Jerusalem, and Jesus prays to the Lord God Almighty for our salvation. That completes the lesson for this evening, and what I'd like to do is, before I close out, comment that the host and I, we appreciate your viewing and taking part. We thank you for that, and we ask you to continue to participate, and we encourage you to do that. And we ask that God bless you because of it. Now, as we say goodnight to our listeners, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.